presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
The X-4 calling control tower. The X-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower, back to the X-4. Wind southeast, ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay, this is Pop Harrigan coming in.
Yes, it's America's ace in the airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode of the adventures of Pop Harrigan.
Fellas and girls, you all know that Friday, August 1st, our Army Air Forces observed its 40th anniversary. In honor of this occasion, we've invited a special guest to speak to you today. We couldn't have asked for a more colorful member of our Army Air Forces than the one-man Air Force himself. Gang, I'd like you to meet Colonel Robert L. Scott, Jr.
Thanks, Glenn, for that fine introduction.
Well, Colonel, there's no introduction that could equal your splendid record with the Flying Tigers. I happen to know that at the time you returned to the United States from China, you were America's leading ace, with the amazing record of downing 13 Jap fighters and bombers. Colonel Scott, I'm sure the fellows and girls would like to know how you first got started in aviation.
Well, Glenn, I learned the hard way. When I was 12, I got a piece of canvas and built a homemade glider. Then I climbed to the top of the highest building of my hometown in Georgia and ran down the roof and jumped off. I crashed 6 to 7 feet to the ground, but I fell into a rose bush, which saved my life, I guess.
Well, Colonel, I don't think you'd recommend that to the fellows and girls listening in as a good way to start their career in aviation.
No, I wouldn't, Glenn. You see, that was way back in 1920. Later, I joined the Army and took the exams for West Point. Finally, I went to flying school. And after that, well...
And after that, it's all history. Well, you sure did it the hard way, Colonel. But now it's time for us to join Hop Harrigan. Gang, Colonel Scott will be back to tell us some of his exciting war experiences, so don't forget to listen. And now to our story. Perplexed by the fear-crazed behavior of the pilot of a large DC-4 cargo liner, Hop, Tank, and Gail Nolan were unable to do anything to help him, and so tried to forget the entire matter. However, a sudden surprise visit by Paul Conroy, a good friend of War Days, who now owns part interest in a charter airline known as the Ace Flying Service, has brought the incident to the forefront again. As Paul explained,
he was a terrific pilot with over 10,000 hours in the air. But the doctor says he's lost his nerve completely and now he's all washed up.
Oh, what a shame.
But gosh, seeing a Jap Zero and hearing a Jap's voice sounds to me like he went haywire even before he made that flight.
No, Tank, he was perfectly all right.
Besides, the same sort of thing wouldn't happen twice. Don't forget the pilot of the DC-3 that cracked up in New Orleans last night. He said he saw a German Messerschmitt.
Well, maybe he heard about what happened to the other guy and it sort of, well, put a bee in his bonnet.
No, no one knew about the first pilot seeing the Zero tank. I put a lid on it as soon as I got the report.
Paul?
Yes?
Did the boy who saw the German plane hear a German voice, too?
I don't know. I haven't talked to him yet. He's waiting for me in New Orleans with orders not to talk to anyone. Same goes for the co-pilot.
You did say all the boys who fly your ships are veterans, didn't you, Paul?
Yes, that's right. They're all AAF men. And that's why I came to you.
To me?
Uh-oh, I know what's coming. Yes, Tank, you do. I need your help. I want you fellows to come along with me and help me get to the bottom of this thing before it can go any further.
Hey, now, wait a minute, Paul. What makes you think we can do anything? We're just a couple of ordinary flyboys.
Now, don't hand me that. I know you better.
Oh, why not turn this over to the police or even the FBI? It's an interstate case.
No, that would mean publicity. Bad publicity, Hop. Our airline is just getting started, and if our clients found out that our pilots were, well, seeing things, you know what would happen to our business. Out the window, but fast.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
You've got to help me.
Well...
Hop, don't worry about the airport. I can handle things all right.
Well, looks like you're on Paul's side.
Well, I am. Keep thinking about that poor boy we saw in New City. Whatever caused such a horrible thing must be stopped.
How do we know we can stop it, whatever it is?
I wanted to put my money on you all the way.
Well, you may be sticking your neck out, Paul, but... if you really think you can do anything...
I'm sure you can.
Okay. Got yourself a deal.
I know it. Here we go again.
Well, you can stay behind, Tank. There's plenty of work to be done right
now. Oh, no, you don't, pal. You ain't leaving me out of this. Where you go, I go. Somebody's got to keep you out of trouble.
I thought so. What do you want to leave for?
Anytime you say. The sooner the better.
Oh, let's see. You know about the radio equipment I've ordered for the field, don't you, Gil?
Yes, it's supposed to be here tomorrow or the day after.
Right. Will you see that it's installed in the little room behind the office? Now, about booking...
Don't worry about them, Hop.
Say, can we have something to eat before we go?
I can have some bacon and eggs ready in no time.
Well, how about it, Paul? Can we take a half hour?
Sure thing.
Okay, then. We'll eat first, and by 1 o'clock, we should be on our way to New Orleans.
Come on, Ted. While Dale's doing her stuff here.
Egan Gale in the kitchen, Hop Tank and Paul Conroy cross the road to the field and, rolling the Beechcraft out of its hangar, prepare it for immediate flight. 35 minutes later, with two portions of bacon and eggs under Tank's belt, the trim single-engine biplane is airborne on its way to New Orleans.
Three planes, Paul?
Yep. One DC-3 and 2-4. Army special.
Well, where do you hang them? What's your operational base?
New Orleans. Of course, we usually don't have more than one ship on the field at a time. This is pretty good. What do you carry? Anything we can fit into the plane.
Do you fly regular schedules on regular routes?
No, we just pick up the loads as we get them. But as I told you, we operate mostly in the south.
Sounds like the way tramp steamers operate.
That's it exactly.
Paul, you said you were a partner in the airline. How many others are in with you?
Well, there are two. I have 50% ownership since I put up half the capital.
Half? Hey, you must be swimming in dough.
Hardly. Right now, I'm swimming in debts and loans. I've scratched and borrowed up to my eyes to get this line going.
What about your two partners?
Well, they split the other 50%, 25 each.
They bet two?
Yeah. Vinny Stevens flew a B-29 in the Pacific. A good pilot and a nice guy. The other one was a ground force officer in the ECO, Air Forces Administration. Third grade, his name. Got a good head for figures. He handles the business then.
Well, then, what do you and Vinny do?
Oh, we just fill in whenever we're needed. Vinny's a good boy at selling, so he tours around making contacts. Sometimes, if we're short-handed, he'll take a ship out. But me, I'm just a troubleshooter.
Sounds like a neat little setup.
It is, Tank. And we've been getting along fine. In the last 3 months, we've actually showed some black ink in the books. We're getting established, and we're getting recognized. We're a cinch to do better. Unless
this enemy plane routine knocks the plugs out from under.
Right.
It's a tough setup, Paul. I hope we can do something for you.
I don't know what. Yes, me. It's a waste of time.
Now, look, fellas. If you don't want to get mixed up in this, I'd be the last guy in the world to talk you into trouble.
You ain't talking us into it. We're doing all right by yourself.
But if you honestly feel...
Skip it, Paul. We're not backing out now.
Well, the way Tank spoke,
I thought... Oh, why? Don't you know better than to listen to me? I ain't happy with him. I got something to grouse about.
We're in this with you, pal, all the way. Open up that throttle, Hop. Let's get down there and wipe this thing up in a hurry.
Tank's words are brave, but they echo in the small cabin with a slightly false ring. The boys still know very little about the mystery, but even now it seems like an impossible task. We'll bring you the gripping climax of today's episode in just a moment, gang, so stand by. Fellas and girls, as our tribute to the Army Air Forces on its 40th anniversary, we have as our guest Colonel Robert L. Scott, Jr., the AAF Deputy Commander of the Civil Air Patrol. Colonel Scott is the author of the famous bestseller, God is My Co-Pilot, and was one of America's leading aces. Colonel, I'm sure our listeners would like to hear one of your war exploits.
Well, one day over Hong Kong, our seven fighters were intercepted by 96 Jap Zeros. It was a terrific fight. At one time, we were so close that I could see a Jap pilot's face clearly through my windshield. Things went fast and furious there, and I shot down four planes. But before heading for home base, we dove for the Peninsula Hotel, which high-ranking Jap officers were using for a headquarters. I gave it a long burst and saw my bullet strike the hotel penthouse. The plate glass just exploded and fell like snow into the streets of Kowloon.
I'll say that was real flying, Colonel. But tell us, what would you say was the greatest day of your life?
There's no doubt about that, Glenn. It was when I was told by General Chenault that I was to command the Flying Tigers when they came into the American Army.
A real honor. Before you go, Colonel, would you give a word of advice to the fellows and girls listening in?
I sure would, Glenn. Very recently, Congress passed a bill making a separate Air Force. This means that the Air Force at last is coming to its own. And as we work to defend America, a grand old man named Billy Mitchell, who died for what he believed, must be smiling. He believed, and you and I join him, that America's future lies in the air.
Well, thanks so very much for coming up to visit us today, Colonel Scott. And fellows and girls, remember, America needs flyers. And now back to our story. Agreeing to help their old friend Paul Conroy, Hoff and Tank flew down to New Orleans with him. We find them now in the small administrative office of the Ace Flying Service at the New Orleans airport, where Conroy introduces one of his partners.
Hop, Tank. I'd like you to meet Bert Craig, one of the boys I told you about.
Hello, Bert.
Hi. Hello. Bert, this is Hop Harrigan.
Oh, hello, Harrigan.
This is Tank Tinker.
Tinker, how are you?
They're old pals of mine. I've asked them to help us.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. Looks like we can use help, and plenty of it.
Yeah, we'll do our best.
Where's Vinny?
Oh, he took the DC-4 out this afternoon. One of the boys reported on sickness.
Mm-hmm.
What about the trip going out at 7 tonight?
The three is back in shape. The crew works on her all day.
I see. Anything new?
No. And Stevens is sticking to his story. He swears he saw a message.
Mm-hmm. Is he around? I'd like to talk to him.
Yeah, he was a few minutes ago, but I told him to go home and get some rest.
Mm-hmm. Well, who's taking out the three tonight?
Martin. Soldano's riding co-pilot for him.
Good. I'll talk to them both.
Well, they're probably out in the hangar, checking the ship.
Right. Come on up. Thanks.
Okay.
Back in a couple of minutes, sir.
Okay. Sorry, didn't see you.
Oh, that's okay.
Martin, I'm just going out to talk to you.
I want to talk to you too, Paul. Yeah. What's this about Steven seeing a Messerschmitt last night?
Oh, he told you, did he?
Yeah, you bet he told me. And what about Frank the night before? He saw Jap Zero.
How do you know that?
One of the airline boys just came in from New City. He said he saw Frank blow his top.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about.
Well, don't bother.
What?
If you think I'm taking that ship out tonight, you're crazy.
Oh, wait a minute, Martin.
I'm not sticking my neck out on a rap like this. I'm through. I quit.
Wait a minute, Martin.
Yeah, and don't forget to send me my check. I got 4 days pay coming.
Wow. He was hitting on all cylinders, wasn't he?
Be quiet, thanks.
Bert, call the ready room. Tell Soldano he's flying left side tonight and get one of the other boys to fill in with him.
Right.
Oh, that was a great welcome, wasn't it?
Has Martin been with you long?
No, but I hate to lose him. He knows his business.
Hello? This is Craig.
Well, I hope he hasn't spoken to any of the boys.
Shame about that airline pilot kicking off what happened in New City.
Yeah.
Come on, but listen, Soldano.
I couldn't expect to sit on it forever.
Okay, talk to you about
it. I want to be the one to tell it.
Will you? Right. Paul.
Huh? All squared away?
No, no, we're not. Soldano won't go up either.
Uh-oh. What about the rest of the boys?
No soap. I told them we'd talk to them later, but we'll be lucky if they don't quit cold on us.
White has to go out tonight.
Too bad Vinny isn't here. I guess we'll just have to cancel it.
We can't. It's a new account. It's got to go through.
Relax, Paul. Frank and I will take her out for you.
You?
Sure. I have an unlimited commercial certificate.
You don't have to worry about Hop. He flies DC-3s like it was baby carriage.
Hop, if you would, you'd get us out of a big hole.
Okay. You've got yourself a crew.
Wonderful.
Well, are you sure it's all right, Paul?
Positive. Couldn't have a better pilot.
But he doesn't know the routine.
I'll go with him. Don't worry, Bert.
This will be a good chance to get some first-hand information on those enemy fighters, too.
Yes, that's right. Who knows? Maybe we can blow this whole thing wide open tonight. Come on, fellas, let's get rolling.
Taking Hop and Tank by the arms, Paul Conroy literally pushes them out of the office. And 45 minutes later, after a quick check of headings and weather, they roar down the runway right on time. But as the DC-3 gains altitude and the red and green wing lights slowly disappear into the night sky, Martin, the pilot who had refused to make the trip, stands near the hangar watching the plane, hot anger in his eyes.
Make a monkey out of me, will they? Trying to show me up, huh? Well, let's see if they come down as easy as they went up.
Fellows and girls, don't miss the next action-packed episode of The Riddle of the Ghostly Avengers. Tune in and fly with Pop Farragon, America's ace of the airwaves. Put on Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazines.